you know, to thaw.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Powerfully You with your hosts, Dave and Linda McDowell.
Hello, this is Dave McDowell, and my wonderful co-host Linda is here. We've had a great Sunday afternoon, or Sunday day, really. I hope you have a little dreary here in Nashville, Tennessee, trying to rain. And we've kind of, I'm not sure, Linda and I have been talking about this program and debating about it for quite some time, and I kind of pushed a little bit, and she decided that it would be okay to share with you guys some of the struggles we've had when it comes to, and let's just be honest, I can say current events, but the truth is it's political.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I should tell you a little bit about she and I, just so you kind of understand. Linda is black. I'm white. She's 58. She doesn't mind me saying so. I'm 60. I wouldn't have said it, but I knew she did. She didn't mind. I have grown up most of my life being Republican conservative. She's grown up most of her life being liberal democratic. I will say that her family was deeply involved in the civil rights in the 60s and 70s, and I mean deeply. So she's been exposed to that, and I think that has a big deal. Whereas my life has been politically quiet. We didn't spend a lot of time talking about politics at my house growing up, and I really have not studied it. It's only been in the last 15 years or so that I've tried to pay attention. And I have to be honest, I've always continued to lean to the conservative Republican. But after Linda and I got married, I tried to label myself as independent, and the truth is, I wasn't. I'm still working on it. And then in November, when we had our election, we began to really kind of struggle a little bit with our different views. And I will say this, most of the time it's not been Linda, it's been me. And I find myself continuing to want to defend the conservatives and defend the Republicans, when really what I'm trying to do in my heart is to be a true independent. Because believe me, I know that there are issues on both sides. There are, whatever, we won't go there. Both sides have major problems. So don't think I'm just all pro-Republican anymore. I'm not. But I still find myself, when Linda and I start to talk, wanting to defend that side, and then I have to stop. And so what has happened in some of our conversations, to be perfectly honest, I've gotten pretty irritated and had to kind of walk away and come back and apologize. Not so much that I said something, but just my attitude. And so we've been talking about, should we share this with our listeners in the hopes that they kind of see us give and take and trying to learn to be open-minded and fair, because that's what I believe the U.S. needs. And then I have a theory, and some people have agreed with me, more are agreeing with me than when I first started giving it. And that is that I truly believe 90%, now maybe a high percentage, of Americans are fair. They want the right thing. They want to do the right thing. They want freedom and equality for everybody. And it's the 10%, 5% on either side that makes the news and kind of swings really hard and maybe skews what is really the base of the American public. But that's just my opinion. And I don't want to get too much into that. I'm really not trying to espouse any particular political views. Neither is Linda. What we really want to talk about is how to be Christians in this situation. And I wanted to talk about it because I'm the one who's struggling more than Linda. Linda does better than I do. I'm the one who, not that I start calling names and being ugly, but my attitude and my heart are not always right. They don't always get They always stay even keel like I want them to, and objective like I want them to.
And neither does mine. I think that's fair to say that neither one of us are. We're very passionate about. Well, for me, I'm just very passionate about injustice in any way, and it really doesn't matter what color you are. So I do happen to experience life as a black woman. So, you know, I am concerned about, you know, black people and being treated, you know,
fairly.
And that's really, even though it is that black people is all people, really, I get passionate when other groups are treated.
You feel that same way, whether it's Hispanic or Asian
right.
or whatever.
Yeah.
You're very much a fairness person. I believe I am, but I'm colored, I don't know if that's the right word, by my culture, growing up in the South, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that's there. And I have to see that and be honest about it and try to deal with it in a Christian manner. And, you know, the Lord says we're supposed to love everybody, period. So this thing that we see on Facebook and all other places where people are being ugly, calling each other names and being, they're not listening. And I have to ask myself, am I listening?
Well, I feel like, and that's more so than the political thing, I think for Christians, I feel like people are looking at Christians thinking, if you're a Christian, then I don't want no part of it. That is my point. So I really want to caution Christians when you get into this, and myself included, into, you know, political conversations and stuff like that, that before any party or any of that, you are first a child of God. And so, and you're the salt and light, and you're an ambassador for Christ. So I caution people when you are passionate about whatever side you're on, is that you say these things. Is it right? Is it just? Is it fair? Would Christ be okay with my opinion?
Right.
You know, and I feel like that we are losing people to Christendom because of social media and what people, you know, I know you say you believe it's 90%, but social media isn't showing.
Well, yeah. Social media doesn't support, but I still feel like a lot of that is people who are able to, in some ways anonymously, they're not looking their other side in the face. And I think they take advantage of that and say things that they might not say if they had that person. So that's another thing we should think about. If you can't say it to the other side as if they were sitting across the table from you, then maybe you shouldn't be saying it.
Well, I feel like you should say it, but it's the way you can say what you believe. I believe whatever side you want.
That be honest.
Be honest and state your opinion, but what I see on social media, because I feel like that's the real person that you see. Those are the statements that they wouldn't say to anybody else, but they can say it on social media without being judged by their coworkers or anything. And so the real people come out. And I read a lot of social media, and the real people, which is very scary, when I read very hateful comments by people that claim to be Christians. And I feel like that hurts Christendom.
Right. And the truth is, let's be honest, let's deal with the elephant in the room, as I like to call it. Typically, it is the conservatives who claim Christianity more often. So, and I know you're not picking me on that.
I'm not. I'm just
because
saying.
Because it's both sides that need to act civil.
It is, and that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that you should hide or that you shouldn't speak your truth. I'm saying that if you're a Christian, watch your post, because people are now being turned off from being a Christian because of what they see, the actions and stuff of people.
Here's an example that I think might be pertinent to share, is that Linda and I went to a nonconformist church, there were a lot of different types of people there, and it was a peace circle, P-E-A-C-E. I went because I wanted to be there. I wanted to hear, I wanted to listen, and I believe in peace, so why can't I be there? And you know what I heard was people of different views and of different beliefs to some degree really, really being serious and wanting, and there was a lot of faith, genuine faith there. There was a lot of genuine love and concern. And here's what's really funny. I kind of kept quiet through a major portion of the meeting until finally I said, well, I want you guys to know that I'm basically a fiscal conservative. And you can see people kind of go, and then they looked at me. I said, but I want you to know I don't hate you. I want the things that you've talked about today. And it was a great, I think, in fact, I felt like some of them, if I'm not mistaken, said, well, we wish there were more like you who really want the same things. And I believe, I honestly believe that the average American, that we all want the same things. We just have different ways of getting there.
Well, in all reality, I feel like, you know, because there were some things that they were saying that I felt like they may not have really understood some of what I was thinking also. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure that there weren't some Republicans, you know, even though they may look different than what
Well, they didn't claim it, but that's okay.
Yeah. I don't know everybody's political agenda there, and really nobody really discussed it, actually.
And
you know,
so here's the other side, and we've talked about this many times, is the label factory that's going on today. I don't want to have a label. Now, even as we talked and in that group, I labeled myself because I felt like it gave them an idea of where I was coming
and
from.
And I felt like it was a good thing for them to maybe hear another side, for all of us to hear another side. I feel like for me, I always have to remind myself, because I get pretty heated and passionate about things. You know that
no.
We both do. And so I
you
always,
behave yourself better than I do.
Sometimes. And sometimes not. We let's be honest.
Well, anyway.
You know, sometimes I have to remind myself more than, you know, any political party or whatever. Who am I? Whose
first.
Child am
what
I
am
first?
I first. I'm a child of God, an ambassador for Christ, and I represent him. And that's why I started to name this session, Are We Salt and Light? And I changed it to say, Am I?
Because that's
what I'm asking myself and trying to be open and honest with our audience and with my wife and go, and at times I have not been. I know I have not been. I've let my emotions and all those kind of things. But I do not believe liberals don't, I mean, and again, I wish we could get away from the labels because everybody's associating beliefs that may or may not be true for this particular person.
Well, why do we have to own, and that's my whole thing, why do we have to own a label? Because the moment you own the label, you own division.
Well, and that's what causes me to begin to be a little bit protective of this group and defensive of this group. You only defend a group when you feel like you're part of it.
Right.
And that's why I have to remind myself, wait a minute.
I'm not loyal to them either.
I know you're not.
Because if they are not.
If the Democrats, and I'm just going to say it, were doing what you didn't think was right, I know you would switch. You wouldn't vote for them.
No. So it really, you know, I do say I probably have more liberal views than anything, and I probably go to that channel, but I really do like the independent thing because I like to identify that I'm an independent thinker. So I may not always agree with all the Democratic or liberal views,
right.
and a lot of times I don't. I actually have voted Republican way back, not way back.
Well,
at that time, I felt like the person that I voted for, and I'm not sharing who that was, but at that time, I felt like he was the better candidate at that time. I haven't done that. That's been some years ago, quite some years ago. But my point being that I don't feel like I and other people may feel, you may be feeling loyal to the label, so it's hard. And I was, too, loyal to a label until I felt like the only label I need to be loyal to is that I'm a child of God.
A Christian.
A Christian.
And that's what I'm trying to get to there. And we, you know, we talked about this way back in November, yeah. December in particular. We really hashed and thought this out. And one of the things that I had to reach a conclusion that I'm not as independent as I want to be, but I'm still working. I really, you know, and I don't have to defend the Republicans because I'm not a dyed-in-the-wool Republican anymore. I'm an issue person, and I want to pick the representative closest to what I believe, whether they're Democrat, Republican, or independent, or whatever. You know, and I think the American public wants to do that. They have a tendency to lean some way. I would encourage people, and I'm not trying to influence anybody to go any particular way. I am encouraging you to truly, truly look at the issue and think what would God do? You know,
that's why I had to break it down to what would Jesus do? I mean, really, in because you can get so passionate about political things. I get heated and passionate when I feel like there's an injustice or something like that, and it just fires up in me. But which I feel like Jesus also got passionate about injustice, you know. So I guess he was a revolutionary in his own right. But I feel like I'm not telling anybody not to be loyal to whatever your party or whatever. I'm only telling people or asking people to be loyal to Christ first.
Right.
You know?
And don't misunderstand, because I want to add this, because it's not fair, and I've seen this happen too, where you play the spiritual card, as I call it. I personally believe in our country, in this world, there are practical issues too. And sometimes you have to go, I want to do this, but I can't do this, because we can't afford it. And I don't want to get into any particular issue.
Well, and to me, I feel like it is a spiritual issue. If you can't separate it, if the Lord said, take care of the poor, the hungry, the widows, that's a biblical, you know, but that would take us into that. So to me, if you go biblically on what God would do, sometimes you can't separate it, and sometimes you can.
And what I'm saying, I agree with you. I mean, I'm not really disagreeing with you.
Mm-hmm.
But I think sometimes you have to salvage what you have and start from there. That's what I'm trying to say. You know, fix what you have, make it better, not lose ground because you've made it, you know, because it's not going to work. And again, you know, I don't want to get into the details
and
here.
And everything is, you know, work however people see that. Because sometimes you have to stretch beyond your comfort zone to see how things will work one way or the other. And that's, you know, whatever side you want.
Well, and here's a perfect segue into something else that I'm trying to do, I think Linda's trying to do it some. I am trying to stretch. I'm trying to hear the other side. I'm trying to, you know, turn the radio station sometimes to the other side. I am trying to go to a meeting. You know, unfortunately, I'm in a great place in Nashville. I work with Vanderbilt, and Vanderbilt does a lot of good lectures and has great speakers. And here's just an example. Quite some time ago, I went to listen to a gentleman. Now, they advertised it as this guy was going to talk about Black Lives Matter. Not that he was an advocate, but he was going to talk about it. Well, he's a black guy. So I went, and, you know, I listened carefully. I had some, hey, wait a minute, in my heart. But overall, he brought instructive, clear data, and information and so on and so on. I did not agree with everything he said, but at least I listened.
And I feel like that is, you know, to keep it, like, open and to keep it, I feel like that's the important thing. I listen to other views and stuff like that. I read a lot of news and social media just to kind of get the pulse of how people are thinking and that kind of thing. I feel like that stretches you to, you know, just view things, see things, listen. It doesn't mean you have to agree, but listen to the other side. Sometimes there are points that, you know, on either side that are legitimate and that, you know, you can listen to. I think it's just, you know, a lot of times it's fear.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, it's fear of change, fear of what you thought was normal is it may no longer be at some point. And that's, you know, change is inevitable. Change is inevitable in our country. And sometimes I feel in the word says fear not a lot of the time, that a lot of times we're operating out of fear of change.
And I think we really have to ask ourselves, do I believe that? Do I believe God's in control? Do I believe that he's in control of who gets elected and who doesn't? Whether I agree with it or not, am I going to trust him? I am not a political person per se. I'm not called to that. I mean, that's not my job. And I'm trying to not get so emotional about it. Make sure and do the best I can to know what I believe and who I want to vote for and what the causes are for me individually. It's not my job to go out and change everybody. I'm not called to that. Some people are.
I don't feel like I'm called to, like, to be real involved. I feel like if a certain candidate is really close to my views, then I will certainly support.
Right.
I've worked for campaigns before, and I, you know, don't mind volunteering my time, making calls. I've done all those things before. For me, it's more just about justice and equality for all.
Well, and we talked about this too. You know, it's kind of one of those, be careful what you pray for. I've been praying for years that the American public would quit being apathetic about its government. Well, they ain't apathetic anymore.
No.
Some of this is good, and some of it is tough, and some of it's hard. And, you know,
but
at least people
are. We are not apathetic, and everybody is pretty passionate on one side or the other. I just feel like, okay, that's good. Use that passion in a positive way.
Right. And learn to listen.
And learn to listen.
And realize that the other side is not bad. B-A-D. They're not crazy. They're not whatever. Some of the stuff we get in the media that makes the headlines are what I believe is the fringe, the extremes. That's my personal view. And every once in a while, I want to go, you're nuts on both sides.
Yeah. I think that, you know, the other side isn't bad. You do have to I have to say there are some people on the other side that are not bad and crazy. But like I said, when you read social media.
And there are some that are.
There are some that are, and we can't say that. But I do believe that there are not, you know, people.
I do not believe that's the average. I don't believe it.
I don't know if it's
maybe that's my faith, and
that's
I just
your
want
faith.
To believe it, you know.
Yeah, I think that it is. There are a lot of people that don't want to hurt, or you know, they still believe in what they want to believe, and they believe. And I feel like there is a lot of people. I don't feel like it's the biggest number as you think.
Okay.
Social media does not kind of like
show
that. But I do believe there are a lot of people that just want to.
Is when you're in these, don't assume the other side is bad, because I don't think they're bad.
Well, and I feel like a lot of stuff, even the propaganda in the media, is fear-based. It's to make people fearful. And what are people fearful? And I think that's the question. What do you feel fearful of? Are you fearful that America's going to change in the way that you grew up, in the way that you knew it? And that's the reality. America is going to change.
You know, okay, I'm white, Anglo-Saxon Protestant WASP. Grew up in a white suburban neighborhood, had very little contact with other types and races, and I loved it. And I have had to ask myself, because you challenged me, is that what's happened? Do I even want it to stay the same because it's good for me? And is that fair? You know? Do I want it to stay this way because it works for me? Is that fair? And the answer is no. I have to look at that and go, what about the other peoples in our country? The way things are today, are they fair to them? And sometimes they are. Sometimes they aren't. You and I have talked about opportunities. You know, you work for your opportunities. I work for mine. But there are advantages.
There was an interesting experiment, or not really an experiment. It was a teacher. I think he was a political teacher on Facebook that I thought was great. And he had a bunch of his students. And it was a mixed group. From what I could see, but he asked students to step ahead if they came from a two-parent family.
Mm-hmm.
Then he asked them to step in two steps if they, you know, didn't have to pay for their college education, and step again for some other things.
Yeah.
Well, when he finished, most of the black, not only black, it looked like it was some other cultures too, but it was mostly black that were in the back that showed that they're sometimes is that disadvantage. And not that I'm going on that, because I do feel like there are some. You just have to work hard. My thing,
you did.
Yes, and I don't have a problem with that, but there were, I had to work. You know, to me, I always felt like I couldn't come with anything less than my best.
I think we have to look at that honestly. And I think both sides are right. And I'm not going to get into this. I don't want to get into the details. I really don't, because that's not what our show is about.
And it's not, but what I'm saying is that, you know, sometimes I felt like that was a good experiment for people to really rationally look at how that is. And I'm not just even talking about for blacks, but I think for a lot of other cultures.
Well, we know for a fact that two parents are better than one. It's been proven in any group.
Mm-hmm.
We know for a fact that coming with money is better than going without.
And that's an idiot. Yes, definitely.
And again, I don't want to get into whose fault is that.
No, I don't either. But what I'm saying is that sometimes you have to come to grips that that's a reality. There are certain things that are reality in our world, whether we like it or not. It's a reality.
Right.
And so you have to deal with that. But what I feel like is that, you know, we as Christians cannot be fearful of change.
Yeah. Back to the
Because change is a reality of our world.
Yeah. And all I would say to that is there are some things I really don't want to change. Not because they're best for me, but because I believe they're right.
And I'm not saying, I mean, I'm just saying that
a lot of things I can compromise. A lot of things I believe we can find common ground if we would listen. And then there are a few things where I'm never going to support.
And that's
fine.
And it's not that we're saying don't. I'm just saying as Christians, a lot, if you're passionate about one side or the other, what is at the base of that passion?
Why?
A lot of times is fear. Yes. And the Lord has told us not to be fearful.
Right.
So I think that, first of all, one of the things you have to do to deal with yourself is to ask, what am I fearful of?
What if you're passionate about something because it benefits you and your group personally. Is that fair?
I only ask, say that in the content of, is it right to, if that is excluding other individuals, and I only feel like everybody should have a fair shot.
Absolutely.
Once you get your fair shot, what you do with that shot
is up to you.
Is up to you. But that everybody be on a level playing field. So if your fear is that your group won't have that advantage over, or they won't be able to keep an advantage over other groups, then I would have to ask you, is that a Christ-like principle?
Oh, I hear you. I'm not arguing that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, and okay, let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes I want to go, I work for it. You work for it.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. Just
and
a
I don't
fair
think
shot
you're asking
to.
For just, you know, free ticket.
I'm
but
saying
maybe
fair shot.
Some adjustment that gives you
an
equal playing field.
I don't feel like I even need adjustment.
Oh, okay.
I need a fair shot.
Yeah, okay.
And so to me, a fair shot all around, that's just, to me, that's justice, that's equality.
Well, we're getting close to the issue.
Yeah. I don't ask because I feel like I'm an intelligent, go-for-it kind of person. So I just say.
You don't need an advantage.
I don't need an advantage.
I
need a fair shot. I need to be able to go to any university I choose to go and be able
absolutely.
To hold that. I need to be able to apply for any job that I want to or any apartment or house that I want to and know that I'm going to be treated equally. That's all I'm saying. You don't have to give me extra. I've worked for mine.
I know. You know, just so people know, Linda was a single mom, married at 18, you know, raising kids, and yet she was able to work her way through nursing school, through master's degree, with kids. I mean, she knows what work is. There's no laziness here. And her family reflects it. Her daughters reflect it. They are both masters in their own fields, working toward doctorates, at least one of them.
Yeah.
I expect the other one will.
They're pretty competitive,
and,
yeah.
You know, these are high achievers, for lack of a better word. And it shows. And that's because of Linda's example. I believe that with all my heart. She taught them and said, this is important. Your education is important. Your work ethic is important, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the same thing that I believe my folks taught me, that I knew nobody was going to hand me anything. You know, I was going to have to work for it.
And I can't speak for everybody, but I feel like that is what people are just asking for.
Sure.
Fair shot. I don't need extra.
Right.
You know, because once you let me in the door, I'm going to exceed.
Yeah, see, that's what I always interviewed and said, you know, if you give me a chance, you will not be disappointed. Now, it may take me a little longer to learn something than somebody else, but you will get a bargain out of me. You will be glad you hired me. And I can say that honestly.
Yeah, I feel like that, you know, I don't know if everybody feels that way. It probably is some people that feel like, well, you know,
oh,
I mean,
sure.
And I feel like if you come from a background where you don't have a lot to work with, sometimes you might need it. I don't mind giving people a hand up if they're going to take that opportunity.
If they're going to do something
with
it.
Well,
yeah. We talked about investments. You know,
right.
We love making investments in people. We do not enjoy throwing away resources.
And I feel that same way for our political system. I don't mind helping people that need a hand. I do mind helping people that are just gonna, you know,
not do anything with it.
Not do anything with it. I just gotta feel like that's
not going anywhere without opportunity for that help.
Yeah.
Well, we've got about 25 minutes. Do you want to bring up, because Linda has a blog and she's kind of written on this in the past, so she's going to bring up a couple things.
Are 5 points that I wanted to bring up about. These are just some of my suggestions for surviving in the political climate, because our political climate in America is pretty heated right now on both sides. So these were just in my blog, some five things that I wrote, and you can add, take away, or whatever. The first one is R-E-S-P-E-C-T, respect your opinion as well as the opinion of others. Do not allow yourself to get into a shouting match with someone else. When emotions get involved in any debate, effective communication is lost. No one is hearing the other person, and it's just a shouting match. Two, violence is not the way. Walk away from violence. Do not allow yourself to be so heated that you initiate a violent act or become a victim of a violent act. The violence then becomes the focal point, and it is not effective in communicating your view. If you want your point to be heard, stay away from violent acts, especially if you are marching when violence occurs. The whole point of the march is lost when the media focuses on the violence that occurs. Three, use wisdom with your communication and when communicating your political views. Getting in a heated political debate at the office is not the epitome of wisdom. If you know in advance that this is going to turn into a very heated argument and the other person is not really going to listen, don't waste your time. Live your life. Regardless of the opinions of others, do not let the views of other people define you as a person. Love who you love. Laugh, pray, work, and enjoy life. Stand and fight for you and others to live their lives to the fullest. This is the best defense against others who strive on racism and prejudice. And five, choose your battles and your battleground. Everyone is not called to every fight. Marching and protest is not for everyone, and there are other ways. Use your voice in social media, attend rallies, town hall meetings, voice your opinions patiently and intelligently. Listen to those who have an opposing view. When you can listen without reacting, you can really see and hear the person behind the words, which can be very enlightening.
Very good. I got nothing to add. I think right on target. You know, we talked about this. And anybody who listens to us very much is going to hear this. Our basic principles for Linda's life and mine are God first and His will, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
The second one, love, because this is what Jesus, because these are right out of Jesus' words. First commandment is, and the second is like unto the first, to love your neighbors yourself. Well, you're not doing that when you're being disrespectful. You're not doing that when you're being violent. You're not doing that when you're not honestly listening and trying to understand. And I'm preaching to myself.
And me too. I am preaching to myself.
And to remind myself that even with Linda and I, I'm going to share a little bit more on that in a minute, just some real practical stuff that we're working on. Those are not Christ-like. They're just not Christ-like. I'm sorry, you're going to have a hard time telling me it's okay to call the other person name. You're going to have a hard time telling me it's okay to commit the act of violence because you don't like what somebody said. You're going to have a hard time telling me it's Christ-like when you won't listen. Okay?
And to me, the cost of that is.
Not that I punched anybody in the neck.
No, you have not done that. Thank God for that. The cost of that is, as Christians, when people know you're a Christian, what do you think they say about that kind of behavior? It's not really losing the fight about the politics. It's questioning.
You're also losing these folks to
you're
to
losing
the Lord.
A witness to the Lord,
right.
Which
agree.
Is the epitome of who
Ouch.
We really are.
And that's what we're really about. I'm an evangelist. You're an evangelist. Every Christian is an evangelist to some degree and have the gift. And I evangelize at work by my actions and my attitudes and so on. And, you know, and same thing, and this applies to this arena just like any other arena
and
that we're in.
I know a person once told me that our light is a living epistle.
Yeah.
And so if your life is a living epistle, what are you preaching to people by your walk?
What are you writing?
What are you writing?
If it's a letter, what is your life writing to other people? How are you corresponding by your life?
And would your life win somebody to Christ? Even in this political arena,
right.
Would your life win somebody to Christ?
Right. Well, you know, again, it,
that's for all of us now.
We
not,
did this
no
for
side.
You guys. We did this for ourselves. We're trying to be open and honest. And you're welcome to disagree, as
definitely.
Always. And if you do, feel free to comment or send us a note or whatever. We'll be happy to share with you. Or...
We would be happy for a comment.
Don't let them know we never get any. Okay.
We do okay. get a couple.
I got to worry about that. But, you know, give it some thought.
Yeah.
I'm going to listen to this again myself to remind myself, keep the right attitude.
Still get your point across. Still believe whatever you believe.
Even if I don't get my point across.
Well, and you still can believe and hold to your beliefs.
You're right. Exactly.
We're not saying that.
I don't always have to get my point across. And that's something I'm learning, and I've learned it in multiple ways. First of all, there's plenty of people who can get the point across better than I can, number one. Number two, who am I? You know, and remind myself, Dave, who are you? And this belief came across, and Linda knows the actual event that caused me to see this. In Christian spiritual circles where I don't agree with a particular religion or group, I'm still supposed to remain in love with them. And here's the thing, and for a long time I felt like I had to say something because I'm a Christian. Until God really drew me up one evening and said, Dave, I don't need you to defend me. And Jesus said, Dave, I don't need you to defend me. I'm perfectly capable of carrying my own message to whomever I want to. You don't have to defend me, and you're not being disloyal by being quiet. And I think in some cases that may apply a little bit here from time to time, at least.
Choose your battle, you know?
Choose your battle.
You feel like
I don't
have
enough energy for more than a couple.
That's
anyway.
Kind of, you know, I'm trying to learn that. Sometimes I get a little heated, and I have to, you know, ask myself, is this my battle?
Here's the other thing, and I want to share this. Linda and I have had our moments where we have had to walk away from each other, but we make a point. She usually starts it, but I do too. Is let's talk this out when we've cooled off. So I would encourage you to give each other room. You know, when the other person's upset and angry, it's not the time to keep on going and going. It's the time to back off and give them a chance to get themselves together. And I say that personally because that's me. I need to be, you know, just leave me alone for a few minutes. Let me get my act together. I know in my heart I'm not acting correctly, but I'm having a hard time controlling. You know, I'm having a hard time getting my heart right. So I would, you know, if you're having these struggles and that's a couple, but even in the office.
Or in families. There are
families
too who are on different sides. And Thanksgiving is coming.
Forgot about that.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving might be real tough.
Yeah. Well, it's been for probably the last few years. So, you know, just when things get heated, is it something you really need to contribute to the conversation if you feel like you do? Is it going to, you know, cause you to be salt and light, or is that going to be a distraction?
Right.
Especially if you're going to get heated and angry, is that what you want to leave the lasting thought of you of?
You know, and ask this, do you want to destroy a holiday for
mm-hmm.
yourself and others? This is, you know, do you want, you know, it's no, don't do it.
Yeah.
And I got to ask, don't do it, you know, just be quiet. If that's what's going to happen, let it go.
Yeah.
There are other times.
There are other times. And it's probably not the best time to have a political section.
Unless everybody is really, really
on the same thing. You know, definitely not a wise time to have that.
However,
people are drinking. So if you're drinking at holiday parties, not the best
to
time
really
yet
okay.
to have the best political conversation.
Well, I think we're ready to wrap this up.
I
Let's see
too.
How much time we got. Well, we got it to 14, which is, I think, about our average.
Yeah.
14 minutes. So let's wrap it up. You want me to pray? Or?
That's fine, yeah.
Okay. Lord, this is tough.
It is.
You know, we have a country that, I don't even want to use the word divided anymore, though I know that's part of it. And I have to be honest, as much as I think we just are not listening and sharing with each other and treating each other the way we should, and I pray that your spirit would just fall on this nation, on me, on Linda, on our families, and that we would see with new eyes and new hearts and open fairness and equality and justice and law and order and government where government should be. There is a reason for all those things. You decreed them. That's not anti-scripture. So, Lord, I just pray your spirit. Just follow us. Just help us, Lord. And I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm just going to ask this in Jesus' name. Linda, you want to add anything?
No, that was okay. Amen.
bye, folks. Have a good rest of your evening and week. And hope we hear from you.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, we got